Going to move along to something that we've already touched on a little bit in this interview, which is the diversity in the city and how important that is. This year, of course, we've seen the Black Lives Matter movement impact political discourse around the world. But how have you seen that movement impact discourse in Abbotsford?
Well, we had one of the largest demonstrations Abbotsford had ever seen, which was the Black Lives Movement that happened up and down Dessendine and South Fraser Way. What it has done for me, and I can't speak for the rest of the community, I can only speak on my behalf, is it's made me stop and it's made me listen. And it's made me try to seek some understanding. The problem with privilege is you don't necessarily know that you have it. You don't necessarily feel as if you do. But that's because it's hard to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. So I think now, especially as an elected official, it's my time to try and listen to what people are saying, to understand what it is they're saying, and do my part moving forward to try and make our society more equitable.
You talked about racism and things that need to be heard. I wanted to get to two particular issues if I can. You know, that as the former mayor of the city and a city councilor and now the MLA, that there's a sore point with visible minorities. That's our public health. How do you think the provincial government needs to start that dialogue and to make the minorities or visible minorities feel, no, you are an important part and the healthcare system will take proper care of you?
The first thing you have to understand is you have to acknowledge what they're saying. And I think that the government, for the most part, and the health authorities for the most part, has done that. They're already starting to investigate these claims. Clearly, there's a call to do better. And again, as an elected official, I think that my duty is to ensure that when I hear stories of that kind, that it's taken to the proper channels and it's dealt with. Nobody likes to hear that they've done a poor job, and the immediate response generally is to be defensive, but being defensive doesn't mean that it's right. And I think you have to approach it with an open mind, an open heart, and have a willingness to actually change.
Where do you think our police needs to improve when it's dealing with visible minorities and other cultural sensitivities?
Maybe it's something as simple as we need to have a list of translators that we can phone at a regular basis so that we can actually understand what people are trying to say to us. I think, for instance, just with mental illness, is there a better way that we could be dealing with this than sending a police officer? Maybe we should be dealing with this a little bit more proactive rather than reactive to begin with. What's happened, especially now as we go through COVID, stress is through the roof for many people. And the stress and trauma of just being socially isolated for many of us is already triggering some mental health issues. So if we can somehow address those earlier, is there a way that we could prevent it from advancing down the road? And I think the same thing goes with, again, with racism. It's one of those never ending discussions on how to improve.
Your party is going through a leader change. Is there anything you would like to announce?
No, I don't think so. I think what you're coyly trying to ask me is if I want to run.
Yes.
You know, I'm just newly elected. I think I need to learn the ropes. Never say never, but I think it's probably unlikely. I'm excited that we are having a leadership race. I think that that's going to actually spur some excitement within the party because we'll have a fresh leader. I'm not exactly sure when the leadership will get underway in earnest. There are those that are figuring out whether they want to run or not and probably developing their platforms. I'm sure there will be some incredibly exciting candidates that rise up. I know that the 3,800 BC Liberal members in this riding of Abbotsford South will, I hope, want to cast their ballot and their name beside someone, and we'll just go from there.
I want to talk about something that happened recently with a Chilliwack school trustee. There's a trustee named Barry Neufeld. And he made some public comments on Facebook that led to him being censured by the school board. Neufeld made a post on Facebook that students from Chilliwack made a petition responding to, asking for his removal, because he made comments about Teresa Tam, about abortion, about a number of other things that were read as anti-LGBTQ+ and misogynistic. Who do you feel was in the right in this situation, if anyone?
Well, I'm sure that the school board did not take lightly. Censorship is one of the strongest things that you can do an elected official. But with regards to demanding his resignation, there's going to be some people who may not like my answer. Every 4 years, every elected official, their job is on the line as to whether you want to rehire them or not. It reminds us why it's important to go vote. Let the electorate vote whom they wish. The other thing that's important to know is that he's not the only voice around that table. Calm heads and cool minds generally prevail. And if someone is that out of step with their community, make sure that they don't get reelected. Go cast your ballot. We went through a provincial election. It didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, but the people spoke.
Abbotsford City Councillor Brenda Falk has a business called Tangle Bank Garden, and they made a comment as well on social media saying that all lives matter, that was similarly received with some backlash. I'm wondering, what are the parallels that you see between these two instances? What might they say about the community?
I don't know that you can necessarily relate those two together, first off. I think there's a difference. And I think that my counselor, in all due respect, whether it was herself or someone else that did that post, and there's some controversy there, that sentiment was not alone. There was a lot of people that were upset that they're going, well, wait a minute, why do only Black lives matter? And when you listen to what was really being said was, look, yes, we would like all lives to matter, but currently our lives matter less, it would seem, than anybody else. So until our lives matter, the saying of all lives matter is hollow. And what I think a lot of people were saying was, well, wait a minute, they misunderstood what that message was that was being said. So I don't think that one particular comment is necessarily shows a pattern. And my understanding is that there was a retraction and an apology for that, for, at least on behalf of one of my counselors. My fellow colleagues, and I think it's a bit of a stretch to put both of those in the same category, but I understand why people were upset with it.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being here again, Bruce. It was a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you. All right, you guys have a fantastic day. Bye.
Bye.